This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I hope and pray, my brothers and sisters, that you are all doing well, you and your families, through the grace and mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring ease in all of your affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the gates of mercy, forgiveness, and blessings for all of you. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. This week, my brothers and sisters, the adhan probably went silent on thousands of phones belonging to Muslims around the globe. This was because it was revealed that the top Islamic app in the world, Muslim Pro, which offers prayer times and adhan and Quran and du'as and much more, had reportedly sold anonymous user location data, to a company which had then sold it to contractors that work for the US military. Now, the company behind the app, which is based in Singapore, accepts that they sold anonymous data, but they dispute the allegation that the US military got access to the data from the company that they sold it to. Now, of course, as you can imagine, if the allegations are indeed true, the concerns surrounding this breach of privacy are very serious, that could result in serious real-life implications for some. Now, the reality is that app developers generate revenue through different means, including ads, especially when they're free apps. So you may have been using Muslim Pro or other apps, and someone recently mentioned that even when they're reciting Quran, they would sometimes get ads for gambling or for other things. So you get free ads which generate revenue for the developers. They also generate revenue. So another revenue stream for app developers is to sell the data that is generated by app users. And of course, there are paid apps that have subscriptions or one-time payments and so on. Now, that data is generally supposed to be anonymous, but users can easily be identified for those who really want to identify them. Now, as a result of this incident, many Muslims have stopped using the app. Now, my brothers and sisters, this incident highlights an important point that many users of technology may not realize. And that is that basically with each new device or app, your privacy is becoming more and more at risk, because you are never going to be the only one with access to your data. So where it is being stored, who's working on it, who's intercepting it, who has lawful but also unlawful access to it. For example, which government agencies or foreign entities have backdoor access to it. These are all questions you may never find the answers to. And all of these services and platforms that we are using as part of our daily lives, many of them have vulnerabilities, many of them have actual access that is built in for governments, for law enforcement agencies, for others to be able to access the data when they need to or when they want to. Now, one good principle is to assume that whenever you have a device that is connected to the internet or connected to a network, it can be used or may be used in ways that you do not expect or that you do not want. We live in a world of information and communication, and each year there are inventions and new products that make many of us more connected and more dependent on technology. And of course, no one will know this better than our local community, mashallah, since we are in the tech hub. So first, it was just computers. Then we had webcams, cell phones that turned into smartphones with tons of apps. And GPS that started out, well, before GPS, print directions, And even before that, we would actually have maps, right? Then we got GPS units. Then, of course, after that, I mean, those still exist. But then we also have apps that offer directions. Web-based security cameras, you know, many homes having and devices having Alexa or Siri and Google Assistant with microphones around homes, fitness trackers, smart TVs, online banking, like you name it, like the impact or the role of technology in our daily lives is just immense for most of us. Now, all of these may be secure, but any security expert will tell you that nearly every product that is connected, no matter how secure it is, will have vulnerabilities that can be misused, even if there are promises and laws that aren't supposed to let it happen. So my personal advice is that if you have any device that is connected, assume that it can be used to listen to you or to watch you, unless you actually, you know, cover the camera physically. If you are using a smartphone or connected devices, assume that you can be tracked, sometimes even when it is off. Assume that any personal info being transmitted through networks can be exposed. Now, of course, our privacy is important because there are those things that we don't want others to know about. And usually it's for two reasons. Either it could hurt us, it could be damaging to us, or it could be embarrassing. So this is why, you know, we protect our PIN, our social insurance numbers, our, you know, financial and personal details, because they could be misused by scammers and by fraudsters. Similarly, if you have business plans, if you have, you know, a great idea, you will most likely want to patent it, get a patent for it. Or, you know, if you have some other great idea, business plan, you will probably want to save it and protect it until it's time to execute so that others don't copy it and don't get a head start over you. Or perhaps it is something that you did or something that you do that you know will embarrass you or get you in trouble, perhaps rightfully, but also sometimes wrongfully as well. You know, if you cheated someone or, you know, you look at and watch stuff on your phone when you're alone, who you talk to behind, you know, your spouse's back, or just, you know, conversations that could be misinterpreted or used against you in some way. Or perhaps they're just details of a personal nature, right? Maybe about your body, maybe about your family, your spouse, your age, maybe, you know, all the concerns about privacy that we are discussing here have to do with the fear or the risk of being hurt and embarrassed in this world. And sometimes, again, the implications can be quite serious. For example, you know, if somebody's a victim of identity theft or identity fraud, that could be very, very disruptive to a person's life. You know, if someone is actually has access, you know, is impersonating you and going out and taking out, you know, loans and mortgages and running credit card debts that are actually in your name, then clearly that poses a serious threat to your financial well-being and your ability to function in today's world. So these are, you know, very serious concerns. Now, for example, with regards to the app as well, when there's an app that is being used almost exclusively by Muslims, then even if the user location data is anonymous, that can be very useful for some entities to see, you know, which places Muslims are frequenting, who is frequenting which areas, any particular addresses, any particular sites that may be, you know, that may hold special importance. And that can unnecessarily get someone in trouble, even when they may not be planning to do something. And subhanAllah, there have been multiple cases of, you know, people, even in our city, locally in our communities, that have unfortunately been the victims of such type of false, you know, accusations or entrapment, if you like to call it. So this is a serious issue. But again, all of these relate to our presence, our functionality, our life in this world. Now, just as we may be exposing ourselves to hurt and embarrassment through sharing of information and communication, I'd like to talk about a greater hurt and embarrassment that we could be exposing ourselves to as well without realizing it. Because you see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that kullu ummati mu'afan illa al-mujahideen, that all of my ummah will be forgiven except the mujahideen. Okay? So not the muhajireen, but the mujahideen. The jim is first here. All of my ummah will be forgiven except those who sin openly. So the mujahir is the one who sins openly. And he went on to say, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْمُجَاهَرَةِ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ الرَّجُلُ بِاللَّيْلِ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ الرَّجُلُ بِاللَّيْلِ عَمَلًا ثُمَّ يُصْبِحَ. That it is a part of sinning openly that when a man, meaning any person, does something at night, and then the following morning, وَقَدْ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, the following morning when Allah has concealed his sin or her sin, what does that person do? فَيَقُولَ يَا فُلَانَ, he says that, oh so and so, عَمِلْتُ الْبَارِحَةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, that I did such and such last night. وَقَدْ بَاتَ يَسْرُهُ رَبُّهُ وَيُصْبِحُ يُكْشِفُ سِتْرَ اللَّهِ عَنْهُ. The next morning he uncovers what Allah had concealed. Right? So here the Prophet ﷺ is telling us about the case of the mujahireen, that these are the people who sin openly. A person who sins at night, commits a mistake, commits a sin, which they shouldn't have, of course. But then the following morning, I mean, it happened at night, so nobody was, you know, aware of what they had done. And the next morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept that privacy over that sin, had kept that cover over the sin. But this person went out of their way to inform others about what they had committed the night before, meaning the sin that they had committed. So all of the people will be forgiven except people who participate or who behave in this way. Right? So what we learn is we try our best not to sin. But if we fall and we end up doing it, then we must seek repentance, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must not boast or tell others about our sins. Unless, there's one important exception, unless it is to seek help or for justice. Right? So for example, you need to go and seek help to talk to a counselor, or you need to go or talk to an imam or someone who can help you. Or, you know, if someone has been wronged, or there's a plan to wrong someone, to commit an injustice, then, you know, you try to seek help, you try to prevent that harm from happening, or you know that something has happened and, you know, a person, the victim needs help, they need justice, so you go and you testify to the authorities or in court and so on. So unless it is to seek help for the problem or to assist in the deliverance of justice, other than that, in most cases, one should continue to conceal the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concealing. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us with regards to others as well. So the mujahideen, this was with regards to people who commit sins themselves and then they expose it themselves. Right? So they have a sense of shamelessness about the sins that they have committed. So the rule is, if you commit a sin, don't tell anyone about it. Right? If it's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah has covered it for you, then keep it covered, unless, of course, there is a valid reason for doing otherwise, such as seeking help. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us about others as well, that man satara awrata akhihi al-muslim, satara Allahu awratahu yawm al-qiyamah. That whoever conceals his Muslim brother's faults, and of course goes for sisters as well, conceals their faults and weaknesses, Allah will conceal his faults and weaknesses on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ كَشَفَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ كَشَفَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ حَتَّى يَفْضَحَهُ بِهَا فِي بَيْتِهِ. Whoever exposes his Muslim brother's or sister's faults, Allah will expose their faults to the point that they will be disgraced in their own home. SubhanAllah. You know, and it is, you know, perhaps it could have been a little bit more difficult in the past, you know, to understand how a person will be disgraced in their home. But subhanAllah, again, with technology and, you know, so many advancements and so much that is available to us that we can do, so much at stake, even within our own homes, it's not difficult to understand or to imagine how that could be possible. So the same principle applies for others as well. So for ourselves, don't expose your sins unless there's a need. Same for others as well. You cover the faults of others. Don't expose and embarrass people. Right. And it's the same principle that if it's about protecting someone or something from being wrongfully harmed or the granting of justice to victims, then it is a responsibility to speak the truth and uncover. Right. So this is not an excuse for condoning injustice. This is not an excuse to staying quiet and being complicit when there is a need or when someone is being wronged. So there we have a responsibility to come forward and share that information if we are privy to it. But otherwise, do not expose the faults of people. Do not try to embarrass people. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, as well in his the part of his beautiful character, right, was to be careful about the feelings of others. To be careful about the feelings of others, not to put down people, not to embarrass people. So if someone comes in and makes a mistake, you know, to advise them privately, or at least being sensitive to their well-being and being sensitive to their feelings as well, because this should not be our intention, right? When we are trying to correct someone, we are trying to find out that there is a fault somewhere, then we should try to do that with utmost care and concern. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us about another instance where a person will be embarrassed and will be humiliated. So this one, the previous one, was talking about, was referring to a person being disgraced in their home, of course, in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And there is a greater form of disgrace and embarrassment as well that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about, that man sama'a sama'a Allahu bihi wa man yura'i yura'i Allahu bihi. That he who acts to show off, Allah will disgrace him on the day of resurrection. And he who does good deeds so that people, meaning may hold him in high esteem, Allah will expose his hidden evil intentions before the people on the day of resurrection. Right? So there's no getting away. If a person tries to show off to others by showing that they're doing good deeds, but they are actually doing it to show people so that they can build the reputation, you know, build high esteem in the eyes of people, then certainly they will be exposed. If not in this world, then on the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose that person and all of their evil intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and purify our, and help us in purifying our intentions. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So our intention should be sincerely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone through our deeds. And it is very lowly to act or to do an act to show that it is for Allah, but instead to have ulterior motives. You know, it's already bad enough that a person does, acts in a hypocritical manner, or, you know, shows one thing and has other intentions when it relates to our interactions with people. You know, so you show that you're helping someone, but in reality you're not. You're trying to score some points or whatever you're trying to do. So that is already bad enough. But on top of that, to do that with a good deed, to show that one is doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when in reality it is not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a very, very serious matter, and such evil intentions will be exposed when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Now, Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions that Imam al-Khattabi rahmahullah, he mentions the great 4th century muhaddith commenting on this hadith. He mentions that this means that whoever does something that is not sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, merely wanting people to see him and hear him, will be punished for that. Will be punished for that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose him and make it known what he is concealing. And it was said, he goes on to say that it was said that whoever does something with the intention of gaining status and prestige among people and does not seek the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَمْ يُرِدْ بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, does not seek the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing it, then Allah will make that person the subject of bad speech among the people in whose eyes he wanted to gain status, and he will have no reward for it in the hereafter. Right? So once again, whoever does something with the intention of gaining status and prestige amongst people and does not do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will make that person a subject of bad speech among people in whose eyes they wanted to gain status, and they will have no reward in the hereafter. Now, of course, if we find someone in that situation, may Allah protect us all, we shouldn't jump to conclusions and judge them that, oh, people are speaking bad about them because they must have had bad intentions, right? We don't know what is in people's hearts. It could be a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. But nonetheless, we should always be very, very careful that we try to purify our intentions that we do not do anything to please others, especially when it relates to good deeds that we are showing that we're doing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we're making it seem that way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So to recap, my brothers and sisters, there is great concern today over the leaking of information, of data that could hurt us or embarrass us. And this is a very real concern, and we should be, depending on how comfortable you are, you should nonetheless be aware of what you are using, what technology is being used. A lot of times general users may not be aware of the types of data and information that they're actually sharing, right, that they're allowing to be shared. One example that I think there's greater awareness about now is, metadata that is embedded inside photos that you take, right? And if you don't disable the option, your camera, could be giving away location information of where you're taking pictures, right? And there's a case of someone who was taking pictures of their children, and posting it on social media, not realizing that, the exact home address or location of where they were taking a picture of their kids was actually embedded in the photo, right? So there's I would highly encourage you to go through your privacy options on your device, on your accounts, social media, or email, whatever services you're using, so that you're aware of what type of data is being stored. SubhanAllah, I mentioned this before as well. If you're a user of Facebook, you can download, right, your entire Facebook history, right, which is like every single post that you wrote. And for many of us who are on social media, we may have been using this for years now, maybe over a decade, even more. And SubhanAllah, when you download that and you look at that, I mean, to me, it just reminds me of the Day of Judgment, right, and our Book of Deeds, right, because it's only one platform. But the amount of detail that it contains, every single picture, every single photo, every single comment, every single status update, perhaps even likes, like so many, so much information that is contained in that file. And that's just one platform. And that's just some of the time we've spent in this world on that platform. Imagine what our Book of Deeds will look like when every single action, every single word, every single, like anything that you can imagine that we have done is recorded in that book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our book good for us and grant it to us in our right hands. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So my brothers and sisters, the concern for our worldly life, our protection from embarrassment and hurt in this worldly life is very valid, and we should be aware of what we are doing with our devices and what we are bringing into our lives. But also, there are other things that can embarrass us and hurt us in greater ways, especially in the Day of Judgment. And three things we need to protect ourselves from. So number one is sinning openly or divulging the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered for us. Okay, so first of all, we try not to sin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from our weaknesses and temptations and from acting upon our impulses to commit sins. But if we find ourselves in that situation, try not to do it openly, number one. And secondly, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered it for you, do not divulge it to others, unless you're seeking help or unless it has to do with protecting others or justice. Secondly, concealing the faults of others. So when you find out that another brother, another sister has a weakness, that they're committing a sin, there's something that you find out about, it doesn't have to be a sin, something you find out about their private lives that has to do with them, do not share it with others. Cover it for them, and Allah will cover yours as well. Unless, again, there's a legitimate reason for sharing it, in that case, to the extent that is necessary, you may be even be responsible or accountable if you don't share that information. So there are some important exceptions. And thirdly, my brothers and sisters, doing good deeds only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and purifying our intentions of ostentation, of wanting to show off, and ensuring that any deed that we do or that we make appear that we're doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is indeed for the sake of Allah and not for any other motives, especially not wanting to gain position or prestige in front of people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah azza wa jal grant us purity in all of our intentions and actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all types of embarrassment and hurt and humiliation in this world and the next. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. As you know, my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, phase one construction has been going on for some time now here. But alhamdulillah, it is now nearing completion. Alhamdulillah. In this building in which you are right now, there will be space, inshallah, for approximately 250 worshippers. Of course, right now we're having to social distance or physically distance, but once that is no longer the case soon, inshallah, we should be able to host approximately 250 or so worshippers in this building. Parking lot should be complete as well, inshallah, with space for approximately 130 vehicles or so. We also have two new multi-use halls in the basement to host programs and activities for families, for seniors, for youth, even upstairs as well, for children, for sisters, for brothers, for all different segments of our community, inshallah. The property, alhamdulillah, as you know, is being used to safely host approximately 400 or upwards of 400 worshippers each Friday in multiple sessions, as you're aware. And this is, of course, very, very timely, alhamdulillah, because the Ridgecraft Recreation Complex is not available since as of March, right? So in March, it shut down, our bookings were canceled, and they continue to be canceled, and there's no prospects of going back there for Salatul Jummah in the meantime. So subhanAllah, I was thinking, if we did not have this property, if we did not have this space, we would have had a major problem because there's nothing available for rental. So alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, this is available, and because of your thanks to your support and your commitment, all these brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, are able to offer Salatul Jummah even during the pandemic. Now, additional funds are required before we can go on with construction for phase two. So this is not what we're aiming for. This is just the beginning. What we are actually aiming for is a brand new building, a new purpose-built masjid, and a gymnasium behind it that we can use when there's larger crowds. So a full center, inshallah, that can accommodate 1,100 people, inshallah. So this is 250 here. What we want to do is accommodate 1,100. And that building, inshallah, will be built right in front of this building. So like when you leave out of the door, up to the road, this is where the building is going to be, inshallah. But in order to get to that point where we can actually start work, we need to have enough funds so that, you know, we can safely begin and not have to leave it in the middle so that it becomes damaged or anything like that. So today, inshallah, our appeal is that you help our community rise out of this pandemic together and stronger. Alhamdulillah, we're trying our best, but we've made it so far, alhamdulillah, and we want to rise out of it with greatness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for all of his blessings upon us. And mashallah, many brothers and sisters have been contributing. You do so online, you do so after Salatul Jum'ah in other ways, so we really appreciate your support. Jazakum Allahu khairan, because we know that times are not easy, and subhanAllah, you know, the reward for giving when times are difficult, right, when poverty is on the horizon, is something that you fear, is even greater, right, is even greater. So people who are taking the step, and the amount doesn't really matter, honestly, right, it's the fact that, you know, you're still willing to give under such circumstances, that is a great thing. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from you and to continue to increase you in all that is good. That being said, donations are down compared to last year. So year to year, when we compare, we're down approximately 6% this time last year. And we don't want to put pressure on the community to make up that entire amount, because we know that it's challenging times. But we are trying our best, inshallah, to make up half of that before the end of the year. So what we are hoping to cover is $300,000. This will help keep phase two construction from being derailed. Because if, you know, we don't make make up that, or at least a part of that, then it can have impacts on when we can actually start phase two construction. And the reason we want to build the building is not just to have a nice building and say, oh, mashallah, tabarakallah, we have a nice masjid, which is going to be great, inshallah, but really so that we can start offering the services and providing for the needs that our families, that our seniors, that our youth, that our children, that our sisters, that our brothers, that every single person in our community needs. Right? That is really the intention and the focus of the building. So the goal, like I said, is $300,000. Today, inshallah, we will be looking for 10 brothers or sisters who can gift $1,000 each. Right? So approximately, after the tax credit, it's approximately $640. If you can afford it, please do it. Right? I don't like to pressure on people, but feel a little bit of pressure that if you can afford it, then please do it. And if you can't, then whatever you are able to give, that will be greatly appreciated. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with much more than whatever you're able to give, inshallah. So outside you will find the machines. You can also give online at kanadamuslims.ca/donate. We have multiple options through which you can donate. And jazakumullahu khairah for your continued support. And most importantly, make dua for our community, for the success of this project, because it is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, all of us who are involved, who are even contributing, who knows how long we're going to be alive in this dunya to benefit from it. But inshallah, it will be for the service of our deen and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for future generations. So may Allah accept from you all. We have a couple of pieces of sad news this week as well. The sister of our brother, Abdul Ila Maqbool, passed away in Morocco. And also the brother of our brother, Hamid Khaldi, also passed away this morning. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let us make dua for them and for all of those who have passed away. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma qfir lahum warhamhum wa'afihim wa'afu anhum wa'akrim nuzulahum wa'wassi' madkhalahum wa'ksilhum bilma'i wa'thalji wa'albarad wa'naqihim min al-khataya kama yiraqqa al-thawb al-abyadu min al-danas wa'abdilhum daran khayran min darihim wa'ahlan khayran min ahlihim wa'adkhilhum al-jannah wa'idhum min a'zab al-qabri wa'adhab al-nar Allahumma ja'al quburahum rawdatan min riyad al-jannah ya Rabbi Allahumma arfa' darajatahum fil mahdiyin waghfir lana wa lahum ya Allah wahsah lahum fi qabrihim ya rabbal alamin. Oh Allah, please grant beautiful patience to the loved ones, to their loved ones at this difficult time. Oh Allah, make them a means for continued reward for those who have returned to you. Oh Allah, please heal the grief in their hearts ya rabbal alamin. Oh Allah, please protect all of us from all types of harm, whether it is visible, whether it is invisible, whether it is material or physical, spiritual, emotional or financial, or any other type of harm ya rabbal alamin. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله أعاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله أعاجله وآجله وما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. Oh Allah, please cure and grant relief to all of our sisters who are ill, who are living through hardships, our brother who are living with pain, long-term pain and hardship, our elder sister who is living with growing weakness and illness, our elders who are battling cancer and other illnesses, brother Mumtaz, Dr. Habibur Rahman, and everyone who is in hospital or who is ill. Oh Allah, you are the cure. Oh Allah, you are the Shafi. Oh Allah, please cure them and relieve them quickly and completely, ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'imata fi al-dini wal-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma asbiq alayna libas al-sihati wal-afiyah waj'alha awnan lana ala ta'atika wa mardatika ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. Oh Allah, all of the brothers and sisters who have supported us, who are supporting any of your causes, oh Allah, who are supporting any good works, oh Allah, please increase them in goodness. Oh Allah, please reward them greatly. Oh Allah, please protect them from all types of evils and hardships. Oh Allah, please protect their future generations. Oh Allah, please accept it from them as sadaqah jariyah. Oh Allah, please continue to benefit them from the goodness till the day of judgment, ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nab. Allahumma Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa al-tuqa wa al-afaf wa al-ghina. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل والبخل والجبن ودلع الدين وغلبة الرجال. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم ارزقنا قبل الموت توبة وعند الموت شهادة وبعد الموت جنة. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة. اللهم بارك في أعمار آبائنا وأمهاتنا ومتعهم بالصحة والعافية. اللهم ارحم من انتقل منهم إلى رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انزلهم منزلا مباركا يا رب العالمين. اللهم بارك في المحسنين الذين ينفقون أمواله ابتغاء وجهك الكريم يا رب العالمين. اللهم حرر المسجونين المظلومين خصوصا في بلاد المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين ووحد صفوفهم وأصلح قادتهم واجمع كلمتهم على الحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين. اللهم احفظ وانصر إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان خصوصا في بورما وفي فلسطين وفي الصين وفي كشمير في الهند وفي سوريا وفي العراق وفي اليمن وفي الصومال وفي أفغانستان وفي ليبيا وفي كل مكان. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. My brothers and sisters, those who are at home, please pray, please offer four rakats of dhuhr prayer. For those who are registered for Friday prayer, please come at your allotted time. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.